So the question is, how does one overcome skepticism? Prabhupada noted in Los Angeles, he told his disciples, he said, Krishna lived in Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. So Prabhupada could see that in the hearts of his disciples, even those who had decided to give their whole lives in the service of Guru and Krishna, that there is some lingering skepticism. So how to then become free of that lingering skepticism? Of course, that skepticism accompanies the desire for sense gratification. As long as we have an inclination towards sense gratification, even a slight inclination towards sense gratification, that skepticism is natural, because skepticism then justifies our engaging in sense gratification. In other words, if you're totally convinced, then there's no thought of sense gratification. Harboring the desire for sense gratification, you have to rationalize it by maintaining the appropriate degree of skepticism according to your level of sense gratificatory desire. So if one can become completely free from the desire for sense gratification, skepticism will also naturally be gone. The stage of bhakti in which the desire for sense gratification goes away, that's known as anartana dhruti. So actually, skepticism will go, the desire for sense gratification will go. So how, then, again, we're back to the same question. How do you get free of the desire for sense gratification and the accompanying skepticism that goes along with it? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Padang drishva navartate vishayavini vartante nirahara shidehina rasavarjam rasavarjam visopyasya padang drishva navartate. By restraining the senses from the objects of sense enjoyment, one will still feel attraction to them. But if you engage your senses in a higher engagement, then you're fixed in consciousness. So, as brahmachari or brahmacharini, we may practice, you know, not meditating on the opposite sex. You know, I have to detach myself. But yet the desire to enjoy the opposite sex is still there in the heart. But if you actually find a higher taste by absorbing your thought, your consciousness in Krishna, the all beautiful, all attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the opposite sex becomes, who cares? When you realize the most beautiful form that never gets old, that never gets sick, that never dies, and who cares about some temporary form that rots, it has to be bathed, you know, twice a day, or it stinks. You see? No, this is for the other ship. We have plenty of time. Don't worry. Don't worry, we're not leaving for an hour. This is for the other ship. You can remember. So, that really is where the answer, the understanding is. By experiencing that higher taste of Krishna consciousness, more and more and more and more, the desire for sense gratification will go away, and the accompanying skepticism will go away as well. So the real question is, how do you increase your taste of Krishna consciousness? That's the real question. Because that will automatically free one of skepticism and the desire for sense gratification. The answer to that question is given in Vaisuta Desanamrita, in the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shu Shu Shro Shadadanasha Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahat Sevayavipra Pumya Tirtha Nasevan. That by serving those devotees, we're completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing messages of Vasudeva. So it really boils down to serving the pure devotee, serving the spiritual master. By completely dedicating oneself in service of the spiritual master, one will then actually develop a taste. Apart from serving the spiritual master, if one thinks, well, you know, I'll just absorb myself in service with no personal relationship with the spiritual master, you won't really get the taste. It has to be a loving service to the spiritual master, a reciprocation of love to the spiritual master. That platform, when you come to that platform, then you will relish a very, very sweet taste. Very sweet taste. And that will burn away all the skepticism, burn away all the desire to sense gratification. So how do you, and the question is, well, how do you serve the spiritual master? What's the method? Well, there are two presences of the spiritual master. There is his physical presence, Papu. It's like now, you're in the physical presence of Guru. So when the Guru is physically present, then you render all service. Laundry, prasadam, you know, driving, water, you know, Guru Mata also is serving. Spiritual master wants Guru Mata should also be very nicely served. She's a great sadhu. So that is also pleasing the spiritual master when you serve Guru Mata. So by that nice service to Guru and Guru Mata, spiritual master is very, very pleased. And he bestows all blessings upon you. But what happens when he's not here? He gets on the ship and sails across the Gulf of India. What about then? How do you serve the spiritual master then? Huh? You hide in the suitcase. You learn the art of anima siddhi. You can become smaller than the smallest, and you just hide in the suitcase and travel with. You find a place in his shoes, and you just travel with him all over the world inside his shoe. That's one thing you can do. You can go to the Himalayas and find a yogi who can teach you anima siddhi. Then you can master that siddhi, and then you can just hide in Gurudev's shoe. Whenever he leaves Helsinki, you just hide in his shoe and go all over the world in his shoe. That's one thing you can do. But if you do not have that siddhi, then what you would do? What would you do then? Well, spiritual master is also present in the form of Vani. That is the vibrational presence. Vibrational presence. That means his instructions. It's like we have left you now a recording of our German lectures, our Helsinki lectures. So the spiritual master is fully present in the form of those vibrations. Even if he leaves his body and he goes back to Godhead, he's still fully present in this material world to bless his disciples in the form of those sound vibrations. For the sincere follower of the spiritual master, he is actually always seeing you. You're never separated. He's always seeing you. He's always blessing you. It's simply that the degree of your connection with your spiritual master in his physical absence is according to your degree of loving surrender. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangstitaiva vijamyam. To the degree of your surrender to him, your desire to please him with your every thought, your every word, and your every deed, to to that extent, you will feel His presence. You will feel His blessing. You will get His guidance. In fact, the spiritual master can directly, audibly speak to you. Your heart is pure, within your heart. He can directly talk to you. Even in His physical absence, He can directly talk to you if your heart is completely pure. Of course, that is especially after His departure. When He's present on the planet, you should not try to, you should try to connect by telephone or by email or by writing a letter or by, you know, meeting with Him face to face. Take advantage of His physical presence when He's on the planet. Connect with Him and serve Him that way as much as possible. You can also pray to your spiritual master. And through the medium of Super Soul, spiritual master will reciprocate with all of your sincere prayers. So, in this way, by making a very strong, loving, surrendered relationship with your spiritual master, we guarantee that all your skepticism will go. You become completely convinced. You will actually reach the point. The point when your skepticism is completely gone is when you're seeing Krishna face to face. Then there'll be no doubt. It's like you're seeing me face to face now. You will actually reach a point. If you stay on this pathway, you'll reach a point when you directly see Krishna face to face. And what's the question of skepticism then? You can actually see Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. You can actually get under the hill. Get out of the rain. I mean, you really be convinced, and you're standing under the hill with Krishna. You can actually do that. You can go back to Gaya and stand under the hill. And you really know it wasn't happening. So, this is our sublime process. And it worked. As George Harrison said in words, his famous words from Apple, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If you're skeptical, then does this process really work? Is Krishna really God? Even if you're skeptical, then gamble. Just give one life to Krishna and see what is the result. Even if you're skeptical, say, well, it may be true, it may not be true. But it seems like it could be. And if it is true, it's certainly better than anything else that's going on in this material world. So even if you're thinking like that, well, it may be true, it may not be true. Just gamble. Give one life to Guru and Krishna, completely surrender to Guru and Krishna, and then you can see what the result is. Because you've been serving your senses for millions of lifetimes. And just look where it's got. Another hellish material existence. So why, since you've been serving your senses for millions of lifetimes, why not experiment? Give one lifetime simply for serving Guru and Krishna, and if you don't like it, you can come back and be a pig in your next life. No problem. Pig or a monkey. You can be whatever you want. You can be an orangutan or a giraffe, you know, or an elephant. You can be a fish out here in the Gulf of Finland. Whatever you want. So, but why not just try being a pure devotee for one lifetime? Completely give this one lifetime to Sri Guru and Sri Krishna and just see what happens. You have nothing to lose. You're an eternal living being. You have millions of births. If you want them, you can have millions of more lifetimes. So just check it out. See what it's like to be, you know, pure devotee of Guru and Krishna. See what you do. That's the answer. Any other questions?
Well, you were speaking yesterday how everything Krishna arranges us all situations so we can learn. And you mentioned that we only have to know how to read these lessons. So how do we read these lessons correctly?
Yes. That, the answer for that, Prabhupada's books are there. If you study Prabhupada's books, read all of Prabhupada's books, He will give you, and also your spiritual master is giving the same knowledge. The other advanced devotees are giving the same knowledge. So we're, through Prabhupada directly and through Prabhupada's followers who are explaining Prabhupada's philosophy from many angles of vision. Krishna's teachings actually given by Srila Prabhupada. It's called Shastra Shaksu, seeing through the eyes of the scripture. Instead of analyzing every experience from the standpoint of your mind, analyze everything that's happening to you from the standpoint of the scripture. So that means you need to be well read in the scripture. You need to be well read with verses. Well read with philosophical concepts from the books. Someone, it's like you're wearing corrective lenses, you see, glasses. So that enables you to see things clearly. Similarly, the Shastra enables us to see things clearly. Without the Shastra, then everything's out of focus. We don't understand how this could be related to Krishna. When the devotee sees everything in relationship to Krishna. You know the story, whatever Krishna says is alright? Whatever Krishna does is alright? You know that story? Whatever Krishna does is alright? About the king who lost his finger. Yeah. The king didn't have the vision of how this could be Krishna's arrangement. And he became very disturbed with the prime minister. The prime minister had that vision. And because of it, he was never disturbed. Even when he was put in the dungeon, he was not disturbed by that. So we have to be like the prime minister. Always thinking, whatever Krishna does is all right. You can take everything away from me if you want. It's like Bali Maharaj, he lost everything. And he was saying, this is a lot. I'm just happy to have, to be surrendered to Krishna. That's really all we need, to be surrendered to Krishna. That's all we really need. If we do that, then whatever will facilitate our service, Krishna will give it to us. At the right time, he'll give us exactly what we need. All material facilities will be there for that person who's fully engaged in Krishna's service. Whatever facilities he or she needs, material, that'll all be there. We don't have to be in anxiety like we're currently trying to grab material things for our sense enjoyment. All we have to do is engage everything in the service of Krishna, and everything will be there in profusion. Any other questions?
What to do if we find ourselves in a situation that instead of letting go of the false ego, we are just protecting it? Mm.
If someone corrects me, for example, instead of taking it, then I want to fight against it. That's an example. False ego flares up. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Well, the easiest way to counteract that is to always remember that you are really polluted. You're very polluted, actually. You're a very polluted person. You have to realize that you are in desperate need of rectification. You really are. Even though you're a well-respected devotee in the temple, you have really a lot of bad faults sitting in your heart. And you have to understand, I am in desperate need of rectification. One godbrother told me, he said, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're such a nice devotee. I told him, nice is not good enough. I have to be perfect. You should never feel content that, I'm well respected now, the temple president's pleased with my service, the devotees like me, my guru is pleased with me, so, I'm a pure devotee, every thought is perfect, every word that comes out of my mouth is perfect, every action I do, no. You have to realize you have a lot of serious anarchists sitting there in your heart like monsters trying to devour you. You're desperately in need of rectification. So what you have to do is just be very, very humble. I'm always begging for rectification. And I bow down before Prabhupada every day. I'm praying very intensely, please rescue me from my position. Prabhupada himself, he said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down. He felt himself falling. And he was praying that he wouldn't fall down. So we should really present ourselves in our prayers to our Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna. That I'm a very fallen position. I'm very proud, I'm arrogant, I'm lusty, I'm angry, I'm greedy, I have all these faults. I'm lazy, I'm stupid. I have all these faults, and I'm just begging your mercy that somehow or other I can do service that is pleasing to you. That's how we have to always be feeling. That's called humility. So if you have that feeling of humility, when somebody says, you know, you're really a nonsense, in your heart you'll be thinking, thank you for that, for sure. Thank you. You've spoken through this person's mouth to remind me I'm really a nonsense. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you. Of course, if you're preaching and someone, you have to take a strong position when you're preaching. Not that when the karmi tells you you're wrong, you accept it. And Krishna, for the sake of preaching, you take a strong position on behalf of the Guru. Now you're a representative of the government, like a policeman. He has to take a strong position on behalf of the government. So as a preacher, we take a strong position. But within your heart, you always feel very meek and humble. So that especially when your superiors correct you, even your peers, even a junior devotee, you have to be always open. Someone may say something to us, even a junior devotee, may say something to us that can actually be a great help for us in our sadhu. We have to be very open. But we, for the sake of preaching, you know, we have to also take the role of correcting other people when they are wrong. But that is in a mood of complete humility, in the mood of service, not in the mood of one-upmanship. If we advance in Krishna consciousness, then naturally, you know, Krishna will bless us with realizations of how things should be properly done, and it's our duty then to instruct others who don't have that understanding. They're doing things in a way that is not pleasing to Prabhupada. It's our duty then to instruct them and guide them. But it has to be done in a spirit of service. If it's done with all humility and genuine love and appreciation and respect for that person, the chances are it will be very effective. If it's done out of pride, or even a tinge of pride is there, it just bounce off. They won't take it nicely. So that's the secret of success when you're out doing some kirtan activities also to be done in public. The more you actually have genuine humility, people will be touched by you. Your words. Their hearts will know more that you're humble. And you'll be able to, you know, attract so many people to take the shadam, to take a book. Because you yourself have cultivated a genuine mood of service. You're not thinking, well, I have to do this for my reputation at the temple. You know. So I have to convince them to take a book or some shadam so, you know, I won't get in trouble at the temple. No, you don't even worry about that. You just think, I just want to help this person become Krishna conscious. I've been blessed with this opportunity to get out of material existence. Now let me bless this person. Give him prasadam, give him a book. In this way, always be in the mood of serving, 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 serving. And then Krishna will empower you. You become very empowered by Krishna. To the degree that you have a sincere service attitude towards Krishna, towards Guru, towards Vaishnavas, and towards all the Jivas who are suffering right now in Maya. To the degree of that service attitude, you'll become empowered. And Krishna will use you as his instrument to do wonderful, wonderful things, to expanding his movement. But there's nothing more exciting than to become an instrument in the hands of Krishna, expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. But the only way to get to that position is humility. Any more questions? Time is up.
Yeah.
All right. All right then. So we will be in touch by email. You may take shelter as much as you like by email. My shelter is completely available to you. And we'll look forward to seeing you all on our next video.